me to John chapter number 11, please. John chapter number 11. This will be the last message that I preach in this series of questions. Next Sunday night we'll be having a fellowship meal, and then the next Sunday night we'll be having Lord's Supper, and so I have 2 weeks off, man. I'm on vacation for the next 2 weeks, and so when we get back in the second Sunday of April, we'll start something new and different. Tonight, I just kind of, with me, I start out with the text, and as I study and as I read, and so this thing has evolved into maybe something that is not exactly according to my title, because I made this title when I first started studying, but it will follow. And the question that we want to look at tonight, can you have joy and hope in the midst of sorrows? Now, the text that we're going to read, and we're going to read all 44 verses, because it's one story and we need to get all of it. But it's a very familiar story. It's a story that has to do with death and it has to do with resurrection. And so let's read through our story tonight. Verse number 1 of John chapter number 11. The Bible says, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews have late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. Now verse number 9 and verse number 10 is very, we're not going to cover it in my message tonight, but it's really easy to understand. Jesus is saying this, is that if someone is walking in the will of God and doing the will of God for his life, that the Lord's going to protect him no matter where they go and no matter what they do. But if a person is out of the will of God, it's similar to walking in the night, as he says in verse number 10, and you better watch out, because you might be in danger, you might be in trouble. Verse number 12, Then said he his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had laid in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus said unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had said so, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her. When they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And he said thus, and when he had said thus, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, Let him loose, and let him go. The great Winston Churchill, that great British leader, before he died, he planned out his own funeral. Part of that funeral, he had some stately hymns in St. Paul's Cathedral. He had a very impressive liturgy about all of his accomplishments. And by the end of the service, he had planned a very unusual prayer. And when the prayer was over, he had one man in the top of one of the towers with a bugle, and he played taps. After that bugler got through playing taps, there was a long silence. And then in another tower across the way, he had a bugler play reveille. Getting up, it's ready to go. When you read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 13, it's one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Because it talks about the rapture of the church. And when Paul is talking about the rapture of the church, he says, you know what? We as Christians, we don't sorrow as those which have no hope. You see, when we lose someone that we love, and when we lose someone that is close to us, and they know Jesus, and we know Jesus, hey, yes, we sorrow, and there's grief, and there's tears, but I want you to know, it's not like someone sorrowing that has no hope of seeing that loved one again. Hey, when we sorrow because we know that we're going to see them again, hey, there is a kind of a joy there. There is kind of a hope there. I know that one of these days, I'm going to see my mom again. You've heard me talk about my mama. I loved her. She was my biggest cheerleader. I'm telling you what, many of you came when I preached a funeral, and even though my heart was broken, and even though there was tears, I want you to know, as I stood in that pulpit on that night, hey, there was some joy, there was some hope, because I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, based upon the word of God, that I was going to see her once again. Many of you have done the same thing. You've lost people that you love. You lost people that you've shared your life with. And even though there was sorrow, and even though there was grief, and even though there was tears coming down the eyes, you knew that once again you were going to see that person. There is going to be a reunion one of these days in heaven. Hey, we can sorrow and have joy and have hope. Now, when you read this text, it's kind of an interesting text. I'm not going to cover it all. There's way too much stuff there, but I'm going to point out 3 things from this text that I think is important. Now, let's look at just a little bit of background. First of all, the Bible tells us that there's a certain man, and they name him. His name is Lazarus. He's in the town of Bethany. He is the brother of Mary and Martha. Now, John is writing this. He's looking back. This is after the crucifixion. This is after all of the events of the New Testament. And he explains to us exactly who that Mary was in verse number 2. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Well, that event doesn't take place until chapter number 12. So John is looking back and he's explaining to us exactly who Mary was. Now, I have to be honest with you. I preach from this text many times. Matter of fact, anytime I did a graveside service when I was in Coleman, usually I would use this text to preach a graveside service. But all these years, I've kind of preached it this way and kind of found out that I was wrong. I preached it that Jesus was only 2 miles or so away from Bethany. From Bethany. I preached it. I said, you know what? Jesus was only just 2 miles away and he's staying put. And why in the world, if he's only 2 miles away, why didn't he go to where Bethany was? But that was heresy. That was wrong. Because Jesus was not 2 miles away. He was 20 miles away. You say, well, how do you know that? Look back up at chapter number 10. In chapter number 10, the Bible says, and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. So, in order to find out where Jesus is, we've got to find out where in the world John was baptizing. Now, you can hold your fingers right there and go back to John chapter number 1. In John chapter number 1, it's going to tell us the town, the place where John was baptizing. Verse number 27, and here it is. Who cometh after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latch I am not worthy to unloose. Now these things were done in Bethbara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. Now it's interesting, if you look on a map and you find this place, Bethbara, it's not on the west side of the Jordan, but it is on the east side of the Jordan. And they tell us that where Jesus was is about 20 miles from Bethany. So if you understand that, then you can kind of understand why Lazarus had been 4 days. Because the Bible says here in verse number 1 that as soon as Mary and Martha knew that Lazarus was sick and perhaps that he needed help, they sent a messenger to Jesus. Now, they tell us that if somebody is walking pretty fast and is pretty quick at it, he can cover that 20 miles in a day. So the first day was the messenger going to Jesus and telling Jesus that Lazarus was sick. But by the time that messenger got there, Lazarus had already died. Now we know, as we'll talk about in just a few moments, Jesus, he waited 2 more days. And then after that 2 days, he made the trek to Bethany where Lazarus was, and so that would have been another day. So that kind of gives you a kind of a backdrop of why these 4 days and how far Jesus was away. But it's interesting that Jesus knew exactly what was going on 20 miles away. He knew exactly. He said, you know what, Lazarus is not sick. He ultimately tells his disciples in verse number 14 that Lazarus was dead and he was 20 miles away. They didn't have cell phones in that day. They didn't have email in that day. They didn't have telephone in that day. No, Jesus is omniscient. He knew exactly what was taking place. I want to point out 3 things from this text tonight. Number 1, I want to point out to you the reason for the sickness. The reason for the sickness. If you look in the text, Jesus is going to tell us exactly why Lazarus was sick. Notice what it says in verse number 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. Now here's the reason. But for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. If you kind of pull yourself away and think about that for a few moments, that can be difficult to take. Because here's what Jesus is saying. The reason that Lazarus is sick is because I'm going to use this sickness to bring glory to me. Now, can I tell you, not all sickness brings the glory to the Lord. And sometimes, you know what, when we get sick, it's because we live in a sin-cursed world. I think back about in the late 80s or the early 90s when AIDS was a big thing, you know. In the 2000s, you had COVID. Now you got cancer and you got diabetes and you got dementia and you got all kinds of diseases. Now, a lot of those are just because we live in a sin-cursed world. One of these days, you're going to die. You're going to get sick and you're going to die. You know why? Because we live in a sin-cursed world. But you see, this was not one of those. Jesus said the reason that Lazarus is sick is that this is going to bring glory and this is going to bring honor to me. I want you to go with me back just one chapter or two chapters to John chapter number 9. John chapter number 9 and verse number 1. And Jesus passed by, and he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Now, I promise you, this is going to be even more difficult to understand and to take than Lazarus. Because Jesus said, here is a man that when he was born blind. The disciples are wondering in verse number 2, they ask him, saying, Master Jesus, hey, who did this sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Ultimately, what they're asking, who is responsible for this blindness? Was it because this young man sinned? Was it because the parents sinned? Hey, what? Who is responsible? But notice verse number 3. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. What's Jesus saying? Jesus is saying that the reason that this young man was born blind was so at a later time God could do a work in his life that would bring honor and glory to him. How does that sit? That's tough to think sometimes when you really comprehend it. I want you to hold your finger there and I want you to go to Job. Just the other side of the book of Psalms. We're all familiar with this text. But in Job chapter number 1, we know while you're turning there that Job was a very righteous man. The Bible says, matter of fact, that he was perfect, that he was upright. He feared God. He stayed away from evil. He raised his children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and the Lord had blessed his life greatly. But I want you to notice verse number 6 of Job chapter number 1. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. Now, I want you to notice verse number 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and abhorreth evil? God says, you know what? I've got a servant over here. I promise you, he's faithful. I've got a servant over here that I promise you that you can come against him. You can bring temptations in his life. But I promise you, in the end, he's going to glorify me and he is going to bring honor to me. We know that Satan took everything away from him that he had materially, his kids and all of his material blessings. And you know what? Job gave honor to glory and glory to God. Notice in verse number 21, he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all of this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Man, there was those that watched Job go through this very dark day, and yet at the end he's not cursing God, he's not turning away from God. No, he's saying, you know what? God gave everything that I had to me, he's taken away, and I just want you to know, blessed be the name of the Lord. That brings honor and glory to God. But in chapter number 2, verse number 1, and again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And notice this. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him in all of the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without a cause. And we know that Job would say this, though he slay me, still I'll trust in him. You see, God knew that even though he allowed Job to walk through the darkest valley, that on the other end, he would give him glory and honor. I'm getting old. Isn't that a shock to you? But you know what? One of the things that I want to do in my old age is that I want to do for the younger generation what that older generation did for me. I can't tell you how many of those people that you've heard me talk about over the years, I watched them from afar. I watched them when they were young and when they were vibrant and when they were active, and God was blessing them and God was using them. And then I went off to Bible college and I came back and I was their pastor. And I watched them go into nursing homes. I watched them lose their health. I preached many of their funerals. And I can't tell you how many of those that when they were going through those very dark and trying days of their life gave glory and honor to the Lord. It taught me that, hey, no matter what I'm going through, and sometimes God allows things in my life and I may not understand it, but listen to me, sometimes God allows things in our lives for no other reason than that he will get glory. And he will get honor when we come through it. We live in a world today that any little thing that gets out of whack, we want to gripe and complain instead of saying, you know what? I'm serving God no matter what. Isn't that what the Bible says? Hey, why is Lazarus sick? The sickness is not unto death, but what this sickness is for that God will get glory and that the Son of God may be glorified thereby. He gives us another reason. If you look down, I believe it's verse number 15. In verse number 15 of the text, after he has told the disciples that Lazarus is dead, verse number 15, he says, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. And here what I believe is another reason, to the intent that ye may believe, nevertheless, let us go unto him. You see, it's only going to be a few days before he goes to the cross. It's only going to be a few days before the soldiers are going to come and take Jesus, and they're going to try him, and they're going to put him on the cross, and Jesus is going to die, and they're going to put him in the tomb. Jesus is using this opportunity to grow the faith of those disciples. Hey, the reason that Lazarus is sick, the reason that Lazarus has died, because you're going to see me do a miraculous work. You're going to see me, he's not saying this at the time, but he knows it. You're going to see me raise Lazarus from the dead. Hey, you're going to know that I've overcome death, hell, and the grave. Hey, you're going to be able to increase your faith. Your faith is going to be able to grow stronger by seeing me perform this miracle. I just believe this, and you can disagree with me if you want to. But I just believe that God puts people in your life and sometimes allows them to go through some dark valleys so that from afar you can watch and you see God working in their life. You see God providing, and you see God protecting, and by that your faith grows stronger. And so when you go through it, when you go through those dark valleys, you know that Jesus will carry you through. You see, I was 40 years old before I ever really understood that. Man, I preached it over and over and over. Hey, man, no matter what you're going through in your life, God will take you through. No matter what you're going through, God will provide. No matter how dark the day is, hey, listen to me, God will provide for you. But you know what? I didn't experience that until I was 40 years of age. And at 40 years of age, everything that I had worked for in one single night was ripped away from me, and my heart was broken. But can I stand here and tell you that Jesus is sufficient, that Jesus is enough, that no matter what you go through, no matter the dark days that you go through, can I tell you, He will take care of you. He will provide for you. You can have faith in the Lord. Hey, He will see you through those very darkest of days. He's telling those disciples, it's not long, but the reason that Lazarus is sick, I'm going to use it to bring glory to me, but not only to bring glory to me, but I'm going to use it so you can see my power and your faith in me can grow. Well, there's the reasons. And then I think there's a response to the death of Lazarus. We know that Lazarus dies. And Jesus waits another 2 days. He travels a day to get where the tomb of Lazarus is. In verse number 17, he gets to Bethany. And when he gets to Bethany, Martha comes running out of the city to meet him. Evidently, there was people that heard Jesus was coming, and they ran to Mary and Martha's house and said, man, Jesus is coming. And Martha didn't wait for Jesus to get there. She ran out. Hey, she was going to meet Jesus. But what is her response? I think her response is, for the most part, the typical Christian response. What is that? I know the right things about God. Man, I know that God is omniscient. I know that God is omnipotent. Man, I know that God can do everything. But He's just not going to work in my life today. Let's look at it and see if you can draw the same conclusion. In verse number 20, the Bible says, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met Him, but Mary sat still. And then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. I just see that kind of little bit of accusatory, don't you, Lord? If you just got here on time, if you wouldn't delay these 3 days, hey, my brother would not have died. But now she's falling back upon her theology. Verse number 22, I know. Hey, here is something that I know, that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Hey, Jesus, man, I know. I know what the Bible tells me. I know what the preacher has told me, that, hey, that if you'll just ask God, hey, you can demonstrate your power. Jesus said unto her, your brother's going to rise again. Wouldn't you have been shouting a little bit? Wouldn't you be thinking, all right, man, Jesus has said, hey, my brother is going to rise again. But notice her response. I know that he shall rise in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? What is her response? Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And then she went her way. Jesus is saying, hey, Lazarus is going to rise. Oh, I know, not today, Lord. Matter of fact, if you look later on in the text, when Jesus says, hey, move the stone, what does Martha say? Oh, hallelujah, he's fixing. No, hey, Lord, he stinketh. He's already been in there 4 days. Hey, don't mess with this. Hey, we don't want that aroma to come out of here. He stinks. Jesus, you're not going to work today, are you? I think that happens all the time. I know it happens in my life. I've been in church all my life. Man, I've heard preachers preach, and I've heard testimonies, and I've seen godly people. I've seen God work in everybody else's life. And sometimes I know all the right answers, but sometimes I'm not so for sure that He'll work in my life today. Can I tell you, He will. Can I tell you, God's just as powerful today as He was back then? Can I tell you, God can meet your needs just like He is going to meet the needs of Mary and Martha? Can I tell you, God wants to work in your life today? He cares about you. He cares about what you're going through. And I'm telling you, no matter how big the problem is, God is willing to work in your life today. Amen. God wants to work in Iran. I don't know how He's going to work that thing out, but I know He's working it out. God's going to work in Israel with all these big bombs going and all that stuff. You know, listen to me. God is so strong and powerful, He could stop it tonight. By the time we get home, they could say, hey, it's all over with. Hey, listen to me. God is all powerful. He wants to work in your life today. Do you believe that? I hope so, because Martha said, Lord, I believe You can raise Him. I believe all this. I just don't believe that You'll do it today. But then Mary, she's sitting still. Martha goes home and says, man, Jesus is there. And so Mary gets up and she runs to Jesus. And when she gets to Jesus, she says the same thing that Martha does. Lord, if You'd been here, my brother had not died. As I was reading that text, it seems like that there was a bit of disappointment. You see, Mary was the one that sat at the feet of Jesus while Martha was working. Mary is the one that ultimately is going to take one of the most expensive pieces of valuable things that she has and breaks it and anoints the feet of Jesus. And I think when she says, Lord, if You had been here, I just sense a little bit of disappointment. Have you ever been disappointed in God? I have. Have you ever had something happen in your life and you prayed about it? You sought God? And in your mind, you thought God was going to fix it this way. You thought God was going to work in the way that you wanted to work, and as it planned out, God didn't reconcile it that way. It's a tough feeling. I hope and pray that you never get there, but I've been there. I go back to my 40s. I'd served the Lord all of my life. And in a matter of days, my world came crashing around me. I thought God was going to fix it the way I wanted Him to fix it. I was sure. I was 100% sure. God's going to take care of this my way. This is how He's going to reconcile. This is how He's going to fix it. He didn't fix it that way. And I got disappointed. I hope you never get there. But I'm telling you, sometimes we get disappointed with God. There's another response. The Bible tells us there's a bunch of Jews that came out of Jerusalem to where Bethany was and to where Mary and Martha was, verse number 37. And they say, could not this man, talking about Jesus, He opened the eyes of the blind. Couldn't He have caused that even this man should not have died? They're pointing a finger at Jesus and saying, you know what? Jesus really doesn't care for Mary and Martha like He says He does. He just had said Jesus loved them. But they're saying, you know what? Jesus, Chad over here was blind and Jesus healed him. And Mike over here, he was lame and Jesus healed him. But you've got Mary and Martha and Lazarus over here. Hey, Jesus was close to them, but he didn't heal Lazarus. He didn't care for Lazarus. That's a tough response. But sometimes we have it, don't we? God, don't you care? Don't you care for me? Man, I've seen you do this for so-and-so, and I've seen you do that for so-and-so. And God, I'm going through the same things. Don't you care to work in my life? Peter would say it this way, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. I like this next one. It's the results. I like good results, don't you? Jesus goes to the grave. In verse number 39, he says, take away the stone. And that's where Martha says, well, you know, he's dead. He stinketh. He's been dead 4 days. Ain't nothing you can do, Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. I don't know if it's case, but as I read that, I see Jesus kind of chastising Martha a little bit. Hey, didn't I tell you something's fixing to happen? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoke, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Woo-hoo! You know why he called his name? Because if he didn't say Lazarus, everybody in the grave would have come out. Amen? Lazarus, come forth. And I was talking to Martha Linda about this on Wednesday night, and Martha said, you know what? Have you ever tried to picture what Lazarus would have looked like when he come out of that tomb, all wound up in his grave clothes? You ever seen a woman with a real tight, long skirt? They can't take but about those 4 steps, you know? I'm glad I'm a man. I'd hate to have to walk in a skirt, you know, and get tripped. But can you imagine Lazarus, man, he's coming out of that grave. He's been dead. One commentator said he had already started the decomposition. I don't know if rigor mortis and all that stuff is set in. I don't know what happens 4 days, but all I know is that he was dead and he had been dead for 4 days and Jesus got involved. And when Jesus gets involved, I'm telling you, things happen. And when he cries out, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus hops up out of that grave and he comes out of there alive and well. Amen. Do you know why you can have hope and have joy in the midst of sorrow? Because Jesus said to a man that had been dead for 4 days, come forth. And he did. One of these days I'm going to lie right here in a casket, and I will have a funeral. We're going to sing goodbye, world, goodbye, real fast. Because I've instructed everybody, my children and my wife knows, we're singing goodbye, world, goodbye, fast. And you're going to take me out to the cemetery, every which one I decide to be buried in yet. And you're going to cry. You understand? You're going to walk by this grave and you're going to cry. I've set aside some money that if some of you will come by and really carry on, you'll make money if you do that. CJ is going to be a basket case. But I'm telling you that you're going to lower that casket into the grave and you're going to walk away. But it's not the end. Oh, it's not the end. Because one of these days, the Bible says that Gabriel is going to sound the trumpet. And when he sounds the trumpet, Jesus is going to say, David, come up out of that grave. And guess what? I'm going to pop up out of that grave, and I'm going to meet the Lord in the air. And boy, there's going to be a reunion day. And when I get to heaven, I mean, my soul and my spirit will already have been there. But when I get to heaven, I get to sing as loud as I want to. I get to preach as loud as I want to. I get to run as much as I want to. I get to get excited as much as I want to. Hey, I'm going to be in heaven, my friends. There's going to be joy, and there's going to be peace, and there's going to be happiness. And when I'm laying in this grave, I don't want you to think about how I'm dead, but I want you to think about what I'm going to be when I get to heaven. And I want you to know there's hope and there's joy, and you can say, praise Jesus, there is hope for old David, because we're going to see him again in heaven. Amen. Amen. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the promises of the Word of God. Thank you for this passage, that if you can say to Lazarus, come up, that one of these days, that when we come to the end of our lives and we're laid in that grave, that it's not the end. Oh, it's just the beginning of living eternally with you in the heavens, where there'll be praise and where there'll be worship and where there'll be service. And God, I think about my mama and my dad and my grandmother that knew you and was saved. And I think about that day when my heart was broken, but there was joy because I knew I'm going to see them once again. I don't know if there's pianos in heaven, but I can just see my mama right now playing the piano and all the angels around singing and shouting and praising. God, I pray that if there's those that are here tonight and they're going through sorrow, or maybe they're going through a low place of their life, God, I pray tonight that you'd help them to realize there's hope. They can have joy because of what you've done for us. God, I pray that you'd have your will and your way in our invitation tonight. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Would you stand with us, please? With heads bowed and eyes closed, Martha and Linda going to play through a verse of invitation. If God's spoken to you, you come.